We're live. Go for it.
Hi, you're back with the Geek Whispers, and we're here live at VMworld. You might know that from the extreme loud noise in the hang space where we're recording. I'm Amy Lewis.
I'm Matthew Brender, and we have just one guest with us today. And in full disclosure, we both work at EMC, but we're joined by Simon Seagrave, who's just a wonderful part of the community. Thanks for joining, Simon.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invite.
So we're one whisperer down because we are at VMworld.
And man down!
And John Troyer is running around in front of us right now, unlocking doors, waving his arms about, and generating community activities, waving his hand over the laptop to create the leprechaun. It's happening live.
This is not the laptop. No. John's very convincing here, and I'm sure, if we're lucky, he might jump in mid-conversation and join us, but we're here, we're live at VMworld. It is the homecoming of homecomings for community members, in my opinion, and we just want to talk about what that looks like in the wild, like what people are doing here, how that feels in real life, and how community really plays out from a business angle.
Yeah, now we're talking a lot about whether a community has a place in the corporate world versus is it all going to be guerrilla and homegrown. So what do you get with organic community and what do you lose if you bring the corporate, the big corporate overlords into it, of which we are corporate overlords. Oh, special whisperer incoming.
I am the corporate overlord.
Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Sorry, I interrupted your conversation.
Oh, come on right in.
So we're talking about community here. So, Simon, what are you seeing? I mean, how many VMworlds have you been to at this point?
This would be my fifth one from memory. Yeah,
Five out of ten. Not bad odds.
50-50.
Yeah.
So what do you think? How have you seen the community evolve over time? And not just the community, but I feel like VMworld does a great job of opening its corporate doors to allow community at large.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But what I've seen over the years, I mean, originally, twofold, right? It's expanded. It's much bigger than it's ever been, but it's diversified at the same time. So back in the day, you know, if we roll back sort of 4 years ago or so when all the community side of things kicked off, everyone was pretty much... There was only like a handful of real community events or community sort of avenues that you could really go down and be part of or be involved with. It seems now, I mean, a lot of people are obviously very keen to get involved, be proactive, and perhaps spin up their own community type events. So that obviously attracts more people because the exposure to these community events is much more vast than it would have been in the past. But as a result, it's much more diversified. So you've got much more different community events or gatherings going on at the same time, whether it be online forums or websites or anything like that.
Well, right now, the reason I'm running around like a nut this morning is we are trying to debug a live video streaming that we've set up. I mean, for the full capital cost of... I mean, if we spend $2,000, I'd be surprised on it, right? But we gave it, so half of it is community kind of, what do you call it? Public access TV.
Oh, yeah.
That people can jump onto and talk about the show and do an interview. And then about half of it is we gave over to the V Brown Bag guys,
yeah.
Right? So it's an independent podcast. It's run by Cody, who's actually working more. I mean, it's run by a lot of people, but the guy that started it, Cody, is he's working on OpenStack these days, right?
Yep.
And we did not vet the schedule. We did not vet the guests. They're all really good technical talks. A lot of good micro talks. And so we've just opened that up to the community to let it to foster the communication and dialogue.
Well, it gets back, the phrase that pops in my head is make heroes of the brave. It's the phrase I feel like we come back to over and over. And I think when we're talking, about what the difference is between independent and corporate-led community activities and what the strengths and weaknesses are. And I think an extreme strength for any corporation is to be a little brave, to make heroes of the brave,
yes.
Because frankly...
This could go really wrong.
It could go terribly wrong.
Absolutely.
And at
That's
the same
the
time...
Term, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you're getting... It's a passion project. You're getting somebody who's... It's not Cody's day job. It's somebody's other passion to do this, and it brings a lot of energy and brings people to it.
And I think that's the difference between perhaps corporate and, individuals doing this as well. I mean, for an individual to do something else other than their day job, to actually form a community event or an online community of some description, that takes a lot of work and that takes a lot of passion. And I'm not saying people in the corporate space aren't passionate about it. Clearly they would be, but it's a different type of passion. And I think homegrown sort of community is definitely a little bit more organic as well. I think they grow differently. than corporate-led
intrinsic as well. Versus extrinsic. It's like just rolling through my head.
Well,
you know, where
that
the energy
down
is
for me. I'm not following as quickly.
Right, because Brenda's trying to grow a nice trellised corporate community with the vines with the vines going in exactly the right places.
I've got a beautiful walled garden.
The trellised community has got to be the phrase on the. Well, somebody tweet that.
Look at the OpenStack. Look at an open source community, and they grow a little differently than VMware's or EMC's, maybe, or Cisco's. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think even the VMware's community, online community that John's been championing very, very well for a number of years and continues to do so. I think, John, have you noticed the difference over the years about how perhaps the community's grown, how it's changed or developed? I mean, obviously, that's more of a corporate-type community, but for me, as a sort of an outsider, it always seemed like it was quite a sort of earthy, sort of organic type of community. And as it got bigger, you seem to get more and more, I guess, corporate influence into it, and it doesn't make it bad or worse. It's just different than it perhaps was in the early days.
We try to stand back as much as we can, right? The more people that do stuff, the less we do, the more other people take up the ball.
Right.
So the more we try to do, the more we can kind of screw it up. Now, we've done some more corporate stuff. We're doing some gamification stuff. You know, and we've got the vExperts, which is getting more and more, a little more corporate juju behind it. But a lot of the stuff that goes on, I mean, the blog aggregator that I run is like 150 blog, you know, homegrown personal blogs. So
yeah, and despite the trellis on the outside, I'm hoping to foster something as successful as the VMware community in a similar way, where I think when we're doing it right from a corporate standpoint, we set a perfect stage. And we put the work into the platform. We have the tools out there for people to hear it. And we set a stage, and we let the brave come to the stage. Yeah. And we cheer them on the whole time, so they're getting that reinforcement, gamified or verbal. Yeah. So yeah, it's all about that.
And honestly, let's be frank here, too. The other thing that corporate can provide, the structure, the programmatic infrastructure, and the money. The funding. And so there's something interesting about that, but does that corporate money turn you sour? So it's one of those, again, catch-22.
It's quite a fine line, I think. You've got to walk, really. And I mean, once again, credit to John, I think it doesn't feel like the VMware community is sold out in any way. It still has got that feel to it. And that must be quite tough to maintain.
Maybe if we don't want to turn a little bit political, maybe the government has to do the roads and the electric company has to do the power.
That's right.
You know, we can't do that from bottom up. So there's some things that we can provide.
Community as a service.
And I think part of it is that what the service provides is to remove the barriers. I think that's, and we talk about leadership styles, and you have managers who are, you know, overlords, and that they every single thing is controlled versus like an open atmosphere.
But the best managers, they build roads and remove roadblocks.
And you have the brave who drive through, you know, at the speed that's appropriate for them.
Yeah. So great. Let's talk more specifically, what's happening in the hang space on the show floor? Like, what are those organic communities popping up, and how have they grown?
Yeah, no, I would like to see. I would even like to get down to the tactics level, because the interesting thing for all of us here is, I think we've done this all in a corporate setting, but we've also done this all personally. We all participate, and I think that says something too. And I wonder how many of our listeners are in that same boat. If you find yourself doing this in your day job, but there's something about a certain personality type, I guess, that drives you to do that one extra thing with your quote unquote spare time. So you run, a community stage, even though that's not your day job.
Or a weekly podcast on top of that turns into a meetup, which you have to schedule, and you have to get on people's calendars and set up an event invitation and watch the door and get tickets and wristbands. Like, the amount of detail that goes into it, you need to spread that out amongst a number of people to do it successfully. And I think that's the one takeaway that comes to mind, is that each one of the successful communities I see around here, from individual VMUGs to our corporate-led brands to the totally off-brand and doing brilliantly, they all spread the workload out across a group of reliable people.
Yeah.
So it's look for those people you can rely on and start building those connections.
I think if you strip it back to the basics, there's one word that really stands out for me. Starting in a community or running a community is belief. Because if you don't believe in the product that you're creating, or the company or series of products or solutions you're creating a community around, it's never going to work. You've got to be passionate. You've got to have belief in the product.
The authenticity. And maybe that's where some falsely created communities fall on their face. We've all seen examples of it, of, you hire an agency. I know I always bash on the agencies, forgive me. But... It's, you hire an agency and that's their one task, is create community around a thing. That's an incredibly difficult task.
I don't envy it.
Here's this pop whiz bang, go create a community around it. And sure, it kind of burns your hair off when you use it, but it's, let's get some energy created around that. And what a challenge.
There's the passion
project.
Degrees of difficulty, right?
Okay.
Of how hard it is to get something going and how much, part of, I think what we all do here sitting at this table is we, there's a certain amount of marketing that goes on. And even when, Simon, you started your blog, there's a reason. You wanted to get your name out there. You thought it might be good for your career. There's ulterior motives here coming together, but hopefully it's all win-win.
Yeah.
But then there's also technical degrees of difficulty. Mm-hmm. So our VMUGs right now, trying to build an online community. So they're thinking, well, we are, we do all these, we have VMUG chapters all over the world, but what about people who aren't near a VMUG, or maybe there's some special interest groups or some demographics, like maybe government, or they want to have slightly different conversations, or healthcare or something. And so they're trying to build an online community, and they're not experienced with it. They don't really know what they're doing. They're not web people. And even though they're passionate about it, and the VMUGs themselves and the VMUG leadership is really doing the on-site events wonderfully, the online stuff has struggled, and the online stuff, frankly, is not going to work right now. Mm-hmm. There's some technical barriers. They're not on the right platform. Mm-hmm. No one can find it. They don't have community managers. There's just all these things that they've tried to kind of repurpose to do it. It's not going to work. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm saying there's both this kind of, energy, soul of the thing.
Yeah.
But then also,
it needs a vessel almost.
Yeah, it's like we're doing this thing.
Infrastructure.
Like, we've pulled off this video thing 4 or 5 years in a row, and we're still crappy at it. and that's what I've been running around at to this morning.
That's part of the charm, though, John.
No, if you just tried to pull this off, there's technical degrees of difficulty to this stuff.
Yeah, even this podcast, we're trying to schedule across the three of us that all have crazy schedules, make sure that brought the microphone, had it all set, found a reasonably quiet area of a public space to record it in. You can't underestimate how much energy is going to have to go into something
truly work.
Even if you believe firmly, also be ready for that belief to turn into action.
Well, what did the guys on the cloudcast.net, they said they started to get comfortable at 30 or 40 or 50 podcasts in.
Right, I got good at 200.
Yeah. I think for corporates, though, I think on my take on it, is you've almost, to Matt's point earlier, you've got to create a vehicle. As a corporate, you've got a bit more money than an individual. Mm-hmm. If you create the vehicle and it's easily accessible, that's the way to do it. And the one advantage that individuals have over corporates is that you can choose any platform you want. So us, for example, we can publish our podcasts, our blogs on any platform we want. Mm-hmm. There's no one telling us, hey, you've got to use this particular version of anything, this particular platform. Whereas corporates, to John's point there, that's where you get tied in. It can be a little bit restricted sometimes because, as we all know, it doesn't matter what company you work for, there's always a lot of red tape you've got to cut through to make stuff happen quite often.
Yeah, and we've talked quite transparently about what that system looks like inside our corporations and as an industry right now, we all sit in very different areas and in some ways from each other, and we're all feel like we're doing the exact same thing. So
the corporate structure and that's important, as you, to your point, Simon, of how much support you're getting, because when we talk about removing blocks, if you sit in the wrong organization in your department, you may find yourself hitting your head against that wall over and over and over again. And one thing we were observing is we've just had a recent conversation around PR and where social sits in relation to PR, that I've been finding and talking with other PR individuals, they kind of get this community idea a little bit more.
It's
which
interesting,
is
it's
not as opposed to maybe traditional marketing or even maybe the engineering community actually buys into it a little more too, because they've been to user group meetings or they've participated. So it's interesting sort of who is where they are on the spectrum of belief into this kind of new watering hole that's it's always been around, but we just have tools to do it at scale and to do it more of it. We have, I don't know, I think...
Those groups have always been there. That sort of jogs something in my mind there, Amy, what you're saying. Back in the day, I can remember when I was, 10, 11 years old, going to user groups back then around basic electronics. We used to go to an electronics group, but there was men of all ages, right? You have the blokes with the neck beards and ponytails, and then you had a few young guys like myself there as well who were very interested in computing, electronics, and there were no frills, but people used to bring along their clunky little computers, and it was a great opportunity to share ideas. things. You know, what are you doing? I've seen this. You know, an information share. So it's, I think it's always been there, but it obviously it's evolved with these new tools, the online, the internet, you know, has allowed us to communicate much more efficiently.
And back to John's point, where the in-person is not being replicated online, it comes down to that. There's really just a lot of energy that we can all share when we're at a place together. That, like, no matter how good our platforms are, we can't seem to deny the fact that humans, like, reach into each other and, like, and can use that to inspire and engage and continue. Where, like, online, I think you need that in person before you can get the online.
Well, and I'm going to take that one step further. I know we're talking about community, but I think one of the challenges that some marketing departments have whenever they say, we're going to do social media, and this is a phrase that just makes my skin crawl, so smack me if I ever say it on this show.
But I do PowerPoint all the time. I do PowerPoint. I do conference call.
I'm the beauty of PowerPoint.
that whenever you talk about this act of committing social media, if you will, it's so about programmatization and so much about the infrastructure and the Henry Ford model and so much not about the people. And I'm such an advocate of its people, platform, content. And if you excise the people part, you will have nothing. You will have just a bullhorn and nobody listens.
You know what, I'd say there's one other piece to throw in there, and that's product. Product in. And as you're talking there, Amy, something else that popped to mind as well was, in the IT there, what's the one company that's pulled this off for you know, a couple of decades now? I mean, the one that springs to my mind that's created community and loyalty, everything around, you know, and people are passionate about it, is Apple.
I agree. Oh. Who has no social media effort?
That is community.
And they don't do social media. Don't do social media. That comes down. But,
so that comes down to product. People, you know, there's obviously an image and, you know, that they sell as well, but, yeah, I mean.
That's it's an interesting observation. Yeah.
So, at VMware, we really know it's about the product. And we try not to fool ourselves that now.
But I'm going to push back. You can have a great product, but sometimes people don't have passion around it. It's interesting where passion develops how you fan the flames.
We'll take credit. I'll cash my paycheck every week.
Oh, you're right. But if the product sucks, no one's going to show up to the community.
Yeah, it's tougher.
You create anti-communities then. In all seriousness, you create this organic reaction to things. And we've seen that happen. And sometimes people listen and things change because community forms around how horrendous something is. I mean, we won't name names.
To bring that back to VMworld, it feels like the unparties. I mean, there's only
that's a great example.
Limited slots in all these big main events of VMworld that are community driven. But they're... Now, since they're in short supply and there's now 23,000 people here, this other convergence is this unparty where people are having a get-together in spite of the fact that they can't get to the other get-together. And it's brilliant. It just continues to... Yeah, you can really make these reactionary, organic events pop up.
You can't stop water from flowing and you can't stop people from joining up into groups.
I agree.
That's exactly it. I mean, I know South by Southwest, I've never been there, but I follow it quite avidly when it's happening. And those unparties there seem quite more and more popular every year from what I gather. You know, if you can't get into the main events, we'll go to a bar down the road and you send out a few tweets before you know it, you've got 100 people there.
But that's back to the platform, where the platform is enabling people to do that. And in the case
together.
Of all of us, we're using Twitter in particular as our platform of choice to be organic and diverse and be able to run through this very quickly.
So my other story that's on my mind, we're sitting here at the table and I have these V Bacon temporary tattoos on the table, and it's such an intro. Matt's actually got one on. We'll have to take a picture.
Yeah, just look at the back of it.
And this is a great example of this will be a test run for me this year, and a fusion of what is corporate and what is community driven, because I've sort of done these. I've raised the flag and put this on my corporate cards. Yes, it's corporate sponsored, but it's been very community based. And this is the first year I have an events team, so I'm working with the events team, which has been, imagine trying to put V Bacon on a PowerPoint slide for a VP. I challenge anyone in hearing, if you've got some good bullet points,
do it in a heartbeat. Are you kidding? I look forward to that
random slide. You flip through in half a second.
It's hard to shock people in a PowerPoint these days, but I feel like V Bacon.
It does. When there's a big there's a big Tower of Bacon picture on there, and then you try to explain, you know, this is a community engagement event, and this is what we're doing. So I'll be curious this year about how does this hybrid work, because I actually think that can be the solution in all of what we do, is that you have to listen very carefully to the community and let them guide you, and at the same time, you know, read their energy. What is it that the community wants to do? When is it when should you put your event? How do you gather them together? What is it they want to talk about? What can you do to remove the barriers? Yeah. And then pitch that up your corporate chain. So I guess that's a little of my practical, tactical advice for anybody out there who's doing this.
Yeah, practical on my end with EMC Elects, I've just been on an evangelism kick where just preaching to everybody for 9-10 months now, and it's stuck to the point where we have the coolest space on the show floor with our own dedicated hangout on top of the booth, and it's just more incredible than anything I ever could have asked for, and I didn't even ask for it directly. I just made people know that EMC Elect will bring more traffic, and they're good amplifiers, and saying that over and over and getting it in front of people, it started to take on a life of its own. So back to, I think John said this originally, name whatever you're working on, and it's going to live longer.
And so, create a program around it.
Yeah, so name it, and then make it look serious. It has to do with the quantification behind the scenes, but we've talked about that plenty. But then it can just start organically popping up places where you didn't think you had budget or weight to push around there.
I think the big thing as well with corporates, it's, I've seen the EMC Elect space there, really impressive. That is fantastic, but I think there's always that fine line you've got to walk as well and make sure that it's not too over the top. As in, you know what it's like, if you could have a grungy old hall down the road with, like a couple of crates of beer type of thing, invite people down there, and they'll go down there as well as something, highly polished as well.
That's the Bee Bacon concept.
Yeah, I'm wondering one of the main differentiators between corporates and...
That's a great point, Simon, how polished it is.
Yeah. How polished, and you're going to get a different audience, and you're going to get a different level of comfort.
But
so
I think that's good. What Matt's done there is fantastic.
I agree.
To that. So is it the community evolving perhaps over time? Are people more drawn?
You can do both. You've got to be able to do both, right? You can't lose. Like, the V-Mugs can't be all, to use my example, the V-Mugs can't be all full-day, 1,000-person events with 20 sponsors and, mm-hmm. Feel like a little mini-conference. Occasionally, you still have to have 10 dudes and a pizza.
Yeah.
Two
agreed.
Pizzas. Yeah,
three. Yeah, that's a good time.
And the one woman.
And the one woman, yeah. One woman going.
Amy.
That's usually me.
But I was dude in the generic sense. But, because if you lose that, you lose something valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that X factor. Yeah. So
one thing, actually, just to jump in there. Do you know what? In this case, I've been looking at the table here with a load of stickers sitting here. And actually up in the EMC Elect space there, a ton of stickers up there. And I wonder whether that's an indication with how many communities you've got here, perhaps, as well, or how many communities are evolving. Because, people go to the effort of getting these lovely little stickers made up, and they're leaving them around everywhere. I've never seen so many stickers at a VMworld before, so I think that's a good indication that the community around, VMware and VMworld is definitely, alive and
people
well.
Get it. It's a branding effort, and we've talked about it. Give it a name and give it a brand.
Oh, but branding makes it sound so crap.
Oh, come on. Well, it's okay, bring it. Yeah. Fine, I'll use community language.
They are tribal signifiers.
Tribal signifiers.
Well, here, I've got your bacon tattoo.
This is our secret symbols that we identify each other with. These are not brand. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. So it's more, it's recognizing your tribe. It's like looking around being like, oh, yeah, they look like me.
That's
I'm
why
part of that.
Gladwell and Godin can keep selling books, because instead of calling it brand, we call it something else. We write 600,
pages. Well, a brand, you need a brand manager, and I need a program manager,
and a lawyer.
And I need a
lawyer.
And a lawyer.
You got to rebrand it every couple of years.
And I got to run it up to my VP, and then I got to have, what's my tagline? Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually kind of a good place to wrap in some ways, because we're talking about there is tension, and maybe good tension, between...
Necessary tension. Yeah,
maybe community-driven and organic stuff has to outrun corporate, and then corporate has to chase after it. And there's some wonderful things.
It's like it's about having fun at the end of the day, right? We're all having fun. Everything from the VM Underground, fantastic event, non-corporate, right through to Cisco VMware EMC's initiatives, also fantastic, and a lot of value to be had from it. It's about just enjoying it.
Well, to Simon's point, if we bring people back to, to all of our point about the platform and enabling people by building roads, removing barriers, but also not forgetting that the product has a lot to do with it. I think the one thing that everyone is guaranteed when they come to our events is that there will be people that are subject matter experts there.
Yes.
And you can get technical a great conversation.
I'm going to push back. But when we get to the product level set, sometimes those people are the product. Sometimes their knowledge is the very thing that is the product that you want to grow from. because that's your whole career. Yeah. That's a
no, you just summed that up way better than I meant to.
Once again.
Once again, our usual.
All right, well, that wraps up an exciting, our very first live audience version of the Geek Whisperers. So,
there wasn't too much heckling.
I know. We took pictures of all the swag we referred to. We're going to definitely have a lot of links in this particular podcast. I'm looking at Matt, so I know he's going to write a great blog.
I'm just going to put this up on the internet and let the community chew on it like fish. All right, well, thanks, everyone. Have a great week, and let's hope we keep this energy up through the rest of the week.
Absolutely. Till next time.
You've been listening to the Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as Jay Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.
Check McCheckerson.
Check McCheckerson from Checkville.
Yeah, of course.
Checkity check check.